Judges chapter 6 is where we're going to start. And we are in a series of journeys of faith, looking at Bible characters that God had a purpose for, a plan for, but it required that they follow the Lord on this journey and walk by faith. And we're taking and trying to glean lessons or truths for our own lives out of this. And today we're going to look at Gideon's journey in Judges chapter 6. And we'll read several verses here before we get into it. Let's go ahead and read, though. Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And we'll stop there for now, and we'll look a little bit further, but maybe you remember or recall the story of Gideon here. And again, we're talking about journeys of faith. God had something for Gideon to do, but it required that Gideon trust the Lord. It required that he grow in faith in order to accomplish what the Lord had. And you know the story probably of Gideon here. The Bible clearly tells us that Israel is in bondage. They're in bondage because of their disobedience. God said, because ye have not obeyed my voice. Well, God sends a prophet to Israel to call Israel to repentance, but they also needed a deliverer. And so God chooses Gideon, who really is an unlikely candidate in men's eyes. In his own eyes, he was as well. We'll cover this in just a little bit. But God chose him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Well, when you walk through the story, Gideon gathers Israel's army together. You remember this. But then God thins the troops out from 32,000, I believe it is, 35,000, something like that, all the way down to 300. God thins those troops out until there was no question that if there was going to be victory, it had to be of God. Men could not do it. And God used Gideon in a miraculous way, but it required faith. Even though he didn't think much of himself, even though in the eyes of men he didn't seem like much, God was going to accomplish some great things. You know, there's a lot of times when many of us doubt. We doubt our own abilities. We hide behind feelings of inadequacy at times. Like we don't measure up, or this thing is impossible, or I'm going to fail again. We have feelings of inadequacy. We doubt our own abilities, and through our own human reasoning, we don't see how we can succeed in a thing or how we're ever going to reach a particular goal. Well, that's what our journey of faith is about in our own life. God knows what He has given us to do. I don't know what it is that God has given you to do. Maybe God has given you to be a preacher or a teacher. We could, there's lots of times when I could easily doubt or have feelings of inadequacy. This is too much. Maybe God's given you to be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe God's given you to simply teach your children at home. Maybe God's given you something like that, and just whatever it is that God's given you, it can feel overwhelming, or I don't feel adequate for the task, or this thing is a constant problem for me. I fail in these areas, and I'm just going to be right back here again. And we have these feelings that weigh us down and discourage us. Well, that's what our journey of faith is about. God knows what you are. God knows what He's given you, but He also knows exactly what it's going to take to fulfill His purpose for you. And He promises to supply our need. He promises to give us strength if our confidence is in Him. He promises us even to give us victory over things that can be so overwhelming in our life if our confidence is in Him. That is our journey of faith. Well, we're going to look at Gideon here, and a couple of things that we want to, I want to try to help us to take away from this is that, number one, we need to understand the hindrances of living in fear and living in doubt. It completely hinders us from moving forward in our walk with the Lord in our Christian life. Gideon faced that. Also, I want us to take away from this that we can trust God with all the feelings of inadequacy or insecurity that we have. We can trust God with those things. And in His strength, we can find victory. And then to choose to allow God to take us and grow us and prove and test our faith. God did this with Gideon. And it grew him in his confidence in the Lord to the point that God could then show Himself strong. And the victory was the Lord's, not in men. Well, we need to be willing to walk on that path and allow God to do that in our life. And we're going to see the paralysis of fear in this lesson. We're going to see how fear leads to isolation. Fear leads to discouragement. We can all probably understand that from a practical point of view in our own life. We're going to look at the proving of faith, how God tested His faith, and how faith is not self-confidence, but faith is God confidence and God's ability. And then we're going to look at the provision for the faithful, how God provided wisdom, discernment, how God provided energy and ability for Gideon and for his men. And prayerfully, we'll learn from Gideon's journey of faith that can help us in our own. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word, and we ask for Your help here in this lesson today. Lord, we pray that our minds would engage, Lord, that You'd give grace and help to be able to teach Your word, that it would come alive to us and be very applicable in our own Christian life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Gideon lived during the period of the judges. And the period of the judges was really a time when Israel lived wickedly in the sight of God. And there was this constant cycle with the nation of Israel where they were right with God, they trusted God, they turned their back on God, they disobeyed God, They were in rebellion against God. God gave them over to be oppressed by the heathen nations like the Midianites. They lived that way for a time until they couldn't take it anymore, and they cry out to God in repentance, and God restores them and delivers them. And there's a period of time when they're doing right in the sight of the Lord, and then they start that cycle all over again. That is a picture of the Christian life, you and me. The nation of Israel is a picture of the Christian life. We walk the same path so often. And there are times when we're right with the Lord and times when things are great. And then there's times when we rebel against God and our flesh takes over and we're experiencing the consequences of our decisions and our choices and our lifestyle. And then we repent and get right with God again, and we often walk that same cycle. Well, Gideon lived in a time of the judges. These judges were men of God, or men that God used to govern and direct the nation of Israel. And it was a period of, I think, 339 or 340 years. It was basically the time from Moses and Joshua all the way up to the time of King Saul was the period of the judges. Well, verse 6 of our text tells us something about the conditions of the people. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So verse 6 here tells us that the people were living in constant fear, and they were greatly impoverished. The word impoverished here literally means that they were at the end of their rope, meaning they couldn't take it anymore. They were literally at the end of their rope, whether you're talking physically because they didn't have sustenance and resource, emotionally, living in fear. They were at the end of their rope. The people of Israel felt like they were going to be destroyed, their lives probably over. But that condition that they were in was a consequence of the disobedience to the Lord. In verse 10 tells us, God speaking, I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. The reason they were in the condition they were in was because of their disobedience to God. Well, oftentimes we find ourselves in situations that are not pleasant, but it's a result of our own behavior, a result of our own poor character. It's a result of our flesh being in control, and we do things in the flesh, and then it puts us in a situation where we're not right with God. And God is letting us experience the consequence of our own choices. We see similar problems in our society. There are people who are defeated and discouraged because of the state of things. They're despairing over our country. Maybe there's a situation in your own life where you feel in despair because it's too much, it's too big, it's overwhelming. I fail, I can't, I'm inadequate, I can't do it. Maybe you have a situation in your own life where you're in despair. And it brings about discouragement and defeat. I don't like living that way. I've lived that way. I felt like I've lived that way, discouraged because of circumstances, a bit defeated because of my own choices. When you want to take out your frustrations on other people because they're being jerks, and it causes defeat, or whether you want to run and hide because of your own poor choices, it can bring discouragement, and it can keep us from fulfilling our God-given purpose in our life. And we can learn from Gideon's journey of faith that help us in our own. God called Gideon to lead the children of Israel out of defeat, discouragement. Gideon wasn't a man that had this unusual faith, an unusual ability, an unusual boldness. He wasn't any kind of that. But he was simply a man who allowed and was willing to allow God to take him on a journey that built his faith. And we can learn from this as well. I want you to go a little bit farther down in our text. We haven't read any of these verses here, but so let's just read from verse 14 on down. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes in an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under an oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And note this, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. What I want you to note here, first of all, is the paralysis of fear. In verses 22 and 23, when Gideon understood that he was standing before the Lord, he became afraid. And the response was, Don't fear, be at peace, you're not going to die. We also noted a little while back that God said, You're going to go do this. And Gideon's response was, I'm not able to do this. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. My family's the least in all of the tribe and so on. God's response to Gideon was, Hey, don't fear. Don't fear. And I want to talk about that for just a minute because the command to fear not is given dozens of times in God's Word. You can look in several places and you can find when God gave somebody something to do, their response was one of fear. And God said, Fear not, because I'm with you. That same response is given to us, and yet many still suffer from the paralysis of fear. Gideon experienced that. Have you ever been in a situation where you're overwhelmed, you're afraid, and it causes you to do nothing? Like you got this option, you got this option, you got this option. You got all these options. You know something's got to be done, but you don't do anything. You ever been in that situation? Why? Because we're afraid. Afraid if I make this choice, that could happen. If I make this choice, if I do this, we're afraid. The circumstances in which Gideon lived caused him to fear. We noted earlier that Gideon, in, let's see, what verse is it? In verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Gideon lived in a situation that caused him to hide in desperation rather than trust in God. You know, the opposite of fear is faith. God doesn't call us to a spirit of fear, but rather to a spirit of faith. There's a great contrast between fear and faith. They have consequences, or they have outcomes. Fear is something that weakens us. Faith is something that will strengthen us. Fear is something that imprisons us. It holds us captive. You ever felt that way? Captive. People are captive all their life because of fear. But faith liberates us, sets us free in the Lord. Fear paralyzes people. You have the fight or flight tendencies, right? Fear causes many people to be paralyzed and not move. But faith empowers us. It empowers us in the Lord to move forward. Fear can dishearten and discourage, while faith can encourage. What I want you to note, first of all, about the paralysis of fear is that fear leads, first of all, to isolation. We said in verse 11 there how when we first see Gideon here, he's threshing wheat in the wine press, hiding it from the Midianites. Gideon is isolated. Gideon's alone. You know, that doesn't sound so bad, being alone, being isolated. As much as I would like to be left alone sometimes, now is not the time for Christian people to be isolated. Now is not the time for Christian people to live in fear. Rather, it's a time that God would have us to take the gospel to every creature. You know, we can look at the culture, we can look at the headlines, we can look at our own life, and it can cause us to want to be just, you know what, I'm just going to go live by a river in the woods, leave me alone. To be isolated. But you know what, that's not really what God wants of us. God wants us to trust in Him, to be able to be used of Him. Not only does fear lead to, and how many times have you felt like you wanted to run away? You know, I don't like the situation I'm in. I don't want people to talk to me. I don't want to see people. I just want to be left alone and go hide in my room. Yeah, we've experienced that. Not only does it lead to isolation, but it leads to discouragement. In verse 13, Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. Do you see the discouragement here? He was defeated. He was discouraged. He was obviously discouraged by the oppression of the Midianites. But here's an application. You know, when you and I allow fear to control us, or we allow fear to reign in our hearts, discouragement is sure to follow. David was a man who experienced a lot of discouragement. He said in Psalm 89 and verse 49, he said, Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? He was in a state or a situation where he was discouraged, and it caused him to ask the Lord, Lord, where are you? The Bible tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, though. And so I would ask the question this morning before we move on, what are you afraid of right now? Is there something in your life that seems overwhelming or seems hard and it's causing you to not move? You're paralyzed. Is there a task that the Lord has for you? Maybe God's given something to you, laid something on your heart, something about yourself, but it scares you. Well, we can be sure that if there's fear, that didn't come from the Lord. That didn't come from the Lord at all, because He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what we need to do? We need to take all those things, all those fears, all those things that are overwhelming, and decide that we're going to give them over to the Lord. Lord, You know my heart. Lord, You know I'm afraid. Lord, You know that this is overwhelming to me. Lord, You know all of those things. You know that I can't see the way forward, and I don't know how this can be accomplished. But give them to the Lord. Lord, I want to give them to You, because I don't want to linger in isolation. I don't want to live in discouragement. Lord, I want to claim Your promise. I want to be able to see Your power, and I want to move forward by faith. That's what we need to do. Gideon was afraid. He was alone. He was discouraged. And God comes to him, says, Lord, He says, Gideon, I've got something for you to do. And we find, secondly, the proving or the testing of his faith. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith is listening to what God says in His Word and then acting on it because God said it. True faith is something that will always lead to action. Faith is not just words. True faith is something that will always lead to action. And we see that evidence in Gideon's life. When God first called Gideon, his response was one of doubt. His response is one of reservation. Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the land of the Midianites, from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." His response was one of doubt and reservation. He didn't see himself as qualified to do this or to be the deliverer of Israel. And Gideon questioned whether God had the right person here or not. Are you sure about that, Lord? Don't you know who I am? Well, at this point in time, his faith was weak. But God promised that he would help him. And God wanted to strengthen Gideon's faith and trusted him. Look what he says in verse 16. He says, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." God said, "This is already going to happen, Gideon, because I'm with you. It's going to happen. You're going to do this because I'm with you." Well, what do we learn from this? And we'll look at a little bit farther on down the line too. What we learn, first of all, is that faith is not self-confidence. God told Gideon, "You're going to do this." Gideon's response was, "I'm not able to." But faith is not self-confidence. Go to Judges 7. Turn over to the next chapter. In Judges 7, in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So what we find is that Gideon gathered 32,000 people, 32,000 men, still nothing compared to the army of the Midianites. They had multitudes more. The Bible says they came in like grasshoppers for multitudes. Their number was way too great. But the Lord still said, the Lord wanted Gideon and his men to learn true dependence on Him. And so in verse 3, we notice that God said, "Let all the fearful go back." They were all released from duty. And God told Gideon he had too many soldiers. And he said, the reason for this is if there's victory, they're still going to say, "Mine own hand hath saved me." And we're talking about how faith is not self-confidence. God told Gideon here, send them home, all those who are afraid, who don't want to fight, and 22,000 left, leaving Gideon with only 10,000. What was happening here? God was working to develop Gideon's faith. Gideon started with 32,000. He lost 22,000. What a test. Whoa. Well, in verse 6, we notice something else. Let's read on a little bit. Verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knee to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. And so in verse 6 here, we notice that the negligent were released from duty. There were still too many soldiers, even though they only had 10,000. And what we find here is another test. 9,700 of those 10,000 were all sent away. God was working to test and develop Gideon's faith. You can imagine, like, what in the world's going on here? We didn't have enough to start with. Now we lost 22,000. Now we lost 9,700 of the last 10,000 we had. God was preparing Gideon for a miracle. And by faith, Gideon had to trust God's directions here. It didn't seem to make sense. Well, because of Gideon's faith, he's later mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, faith's hall of fame. Hebrews 11:32 says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Gideon is mentioned again later on because of his faith in the Lord. And here's the application. You know, God has given a task for you. Your task might be different than mine. But God has given a task for you. And what I'm saying is, we should, and sometimes we are guilty of this, we should not let our timid spirit be an excuse for our disobedience to God. We live in fear. We feel inadequate. We have a timid spirit about us, and it causes us to stay still. Rather, we should decide, we're going to cast our cares on the Lord. We're going to cast our fear on the Lord. And we're going to claim dependence on God, just as Gideon had to do. Listen, countless numbers of Christians throughout history have done this very thing. And you know what? God has never once failed. Never once has He failed. It's not in our own abilities. You might feel like, I fail, and then what's the point, and what's the use, and I can't get victory over this thing. It's not in our own ability to. Faith is not self-confidence. Faith is God-confidence. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What's the problem when we're discouraged because of our failures or what's going on in our life? The problem is we're not actually trusting in God. God is a rewarder of them who will put Him to the test, who will diligently seek Him. You know what you got to do? You got to step out by faith. Lord, I can't do it, but You can. Here I go. I give it to You. I don't see how it's going to happen. I don't know, but I trust in You. Lord, I'm going to test it. I'm going to prove it. God knew what He was going to have Gideon do. God knew what Gideon's potential was. Back in chapter 6, in verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That's what God called him, because the Lord was with him. He's referred to as a mighty man of valor. That's certainly not how Gideon referred to himself. We saw that. But God saw what he would accomplish if Gideon was just willing. God sees and knows what's happening in your life. God sees and knows your potential to be used of Him. What He wants is for us to put our faith and our confidence in Him so He can develop it. So He ultimately gets more glory out of our life. Go to chapter 7 and look at verse 8. So He just lets the rest of them go. And then in verse 8, so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and He sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. God set in order what the plan was and what He was supposed to do. And He promised him, I've delivered them into your hand. It's already done. It's already done, Gideon. Well, when it was time to obey God, Gideon, at this point, didn't hesitate. Gideon didn't waver. He obeyed completely, even when the command seemed to be irrational, seemed to be a bit unreasonable. It wasn't the norm to the human way of thinking. Gideon simply followed the command of God, trusting that God would fulfill His promise and that God would take care of him. Gideon realized that his strength would have to come from the Lord. Not only did God see Gideon's potential, but God blessed Gideon's faith. In chapter 7, we note, we don't have the time to read all of it, but God gave and delivered Israel from the hands of the Midianites, defeated their armies. And here's the application. You know, we have the Word of God in front of us. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We have God's words in front of us. We have God's promises to us. We know the principle. The problem is that we don't really act on what we know. You know, if we step out in faith and actually trust and prove and test the Lord, God is never going to let us down. He always blesses true faith in action. Romans 8:31 says, What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, God will take every person on a different journey of faith. I don't know what's going on in your life or at various times, but I know this. Each person is designed as a special creation to fulfill a specific purpose that God has. God doesn't call us all to the same task. He doesn't give us all the same job. And your task will probably be different than Gideon's task. But yet, it's still going to require the same thing, confidence in the Lord. And the result is God's blessing, God's victory, and God's glory. Maybe you just need to be asked the question. I don't know. The Lord does, but let me just ask you the question. When are you going to start obeying by faith? I want you to note in chapter 7, thirdly, God's provision for the faithful. God proved Himself and showed Himself in chapter 7. Look at verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. So let's just back up a little bit so what we understand here. What is happening? God told Gideon, what you're going to do is divide up the 300 men, and you're going to have a pitcher, and you're going to have a trumpet, and you're going to cover the lamp with that pitcher. And when the time is right, you're going to break that pitcher, and the lamp's going to show, and you're going to shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So let's go back to Verse 15, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. He divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand and empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow it with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpet and brake the pitchers which were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled to Bethshittah in Zerath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. What we find here is that God provides and provided all that was needed for Gideon and his men. The Bible tells us that God instructed Gideon to give each man a pitcher and a trumpet and a lamp or a torch. God told Gideon to surround the Midianites, divide them up into three companies, and when he gave the signal to blow the trumpet and to break the pitcher, they were supposed to do the same, and they would shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and Gideon's army followed. And what happened next was that God did the rest. God provided not only the wisdom, but He also provided the strength for them to stand in their place. And we see in verse 21, they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. What did it take for this victory to be won? Not strength, not their own wisdom. It took faith in God and His Word. God desires faithfulness from you and from me. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Where is our place? Right in the center of God's will, trusting Him to provide what we need. You know what? We are prone to wander, though. And yet, with God's wisdom, we can make choices that will help us remain faithful and stay steadfast. What is it that God has you to do? I don't know. Maybe He wants you to be a teacher. Maybe He has you as a nursery worker. Maybe He has you just teaching your children at home. Maybe He has you just being a faithful parent. Maybe He has you being an encourager. I don't know. But God has a specific thing for you to do. And He desires that we go where He leads us, even when He puts us to the test and tries our faith. But when we trust the Lord, God is going to provide all that we need. And we saw that here. God gave them everything that they needed. You know what? Let me make this application here before we close. Living the Christian life in this world isn't easy. You might feel as though you look strange in the world today. But you know what? God calls us to come out from among the world and be separate. The way that you dress, the way that you act, it might make you feel strange in this world. It might make you feel like you stand out, but you know what? That's okay. It is absolutely okay. If you commit that to the Lord, God will give you strength. When you obey Him by faith, God will give you victory. Secular man, you've heard of him before. Justice Antonin Scalia of the Supreme Court, he said this. He said, Christians who actually live according to the Bible in the USA can expect to be viewed as fools. That's a secular person. But you know what? Jesus said that long before he ever had that idea. The Apostle Paul said, I'm counted as a fool for Jesus' sake. Christianity and God's principles and God's morals, they're despised in our world, in our society. And it can cause people to live in fear. It can cause people to not want to stand out. It can cause people to not want to be separate from the world. But you know, God will give strength to live righteously in a wicked world if we'll trust Him. George Washington said, it's impossible to righteously govern the world without God in the Bible. It's true. But you know what? The same is true in your life and mine. We need God and His Word, amen, to govern our own life, to guide us daily. And from a human perspective, it doesn't seem to make sense. From a human perspective, God's battle plan didn't seem to make sense for Gideon. We most likely would have wanted to try to strategize, to pursue with full force what we had available to us. But God said no. And in the same vein, we want to do the same thing in our life. But we'll never gain victory. We'll never find confidence in God operating with human understanding. God's wisdom is infinitely greater than our own. We just need to trust Him. One last thought here before we close up. Go to Judges chapter 8. Judges chapter 8. God provided not only the wisdom for Gideon, but God also provided the ability and the fortitude and the tenacity to keep on and to stay with it. In Judges 8 and verse 1, the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. We don't have the time to look at all of this, but in this situation here, Gideon was being criticized. And God provided Gideon the fortitude and the tenacity that he needed, even when he was being criticized for doing something the Lord wanted him to do. After the Midianites were defeated and they were on the run, Gideon sent messengers to the men of Ephraim to go and pursue them. And what happened was that when they came, they said, Gideon, why didn't you call us? Why didn't you call us when you went to go fight? We could have a part of this. And Gideon was being criticized. They chided with him sharply, the Bible says. It means bitter, strong, cutting words. Have you ever had somebody have strong, cutting words or criticize you simply because you wanted to do right and please the Lord? That can be discouraging and defeating. But God gave Gideon the tenacity and the fortitude that he needed to keep on going because Gideon trusted in the Lord. And I'll close with this. There was a man who came, came to D.L. Moody once, and he was criticizing him for his method that he used in soul winning. And D.L. Moody listened to the man politely for a little bit, and then he asked him this question: well, how would you do it? If you don't like how I do it, how would you do it? And the man, who was kind of taken aback a little bit by his question, and he had to quietly mumble, well, I don't do it. So then D.L. Moody said to him, well, my friend, I prefer the way that I do it to the way that you don't do it. He was trying to follow the Lord. And criticism didn't bother him because he had the Lord with him. And like Gideon and his men, we may face the same kinds of things in our life, but the question is, will we pursue with purpose, and will we stand in our place, and will we trust in the Lord? We don't have to be strong or mighty men of courage before God will use us. God doesn't look at our abilities. He doesn't look at our talents. He doesn't look at the problem before us. What He's looking for is trust and obedience. And by faith, we can move from discouragement, we can move from defeat, and we can move on into victory and the glory of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for examples of men who had to follow You by faith, examples of ladies in the Scriptures who had to move in faith. Lord, we know the principles, but so often we fail to live them. And we respond in fear, or we respond in discouragement and defeat, rather than faith and trust and experiencing victory. Gideon had to trust the Lord's direction. He had to. God put him in a place to test his faith, to prove it. There was no other recourse if he was going to experience victory. But Gideon didn't waver. Gideon believed in the Lord. And Lord, You always prove Yourself faithful. Help us, Lord, to be people of faith. Lord, to take You at Your word, to step out, to trust. Help us to be obedient. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.